Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 19 and we will continue on. We've seen in chapter 19, God has sent a couple angels to the city of Sodom to destroy that city and the rest of the cities on the plain in that general area. They come to the city of Sodom. We see Lot sitting in the gate. Quite possibly he's some sort of official there. That's where the officials sat to conduct business. And Lot takes these visitors in, brings them into his home. Custom of the day is you provide for them, you watch over them, give them safety, give them food, someplace to stay. And we see the men of the town. We talked about this not last week because we didn't have services, but 2 weeks ago, the men of Sodom, young and old from every corner, it says, in the city, came and desired to take these men out and commit untold things with them. I hate talking about this, but we know what's going on. We know what took place in the city of Sodom. Lot knew what was going on. Quite possibly that's why he took these men in, wouldn't let them stay out in the open square at night. He wanted them to come into his house. So we see these men coming to Lot, demanding that he release these men or let them take these men. And Lot, our example of how not to be a father, Lot says, don't take these two visitors that are under my care. Take my two virgin daughters instead. And how he comes up with this, or I don't know. I've run out of excuses for Lot. But anyhow, the men say in verse 9, stand back. And they said, this one fellow came into sojourn. In other words, came to stay with us. And he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with him than with them. And they pressed sore upon him, even Lot, and came near to break the door down. So the men of the city, it's interesting here as you think about this. What was Lot's situation? He had moved into the city of Sodom. He had become some sort of official, we're assuming, it seems to be. So the people of the city had accepted him. And even though maybe Lot wasn't involved with everything that was going on, he seemed to accept it. It's interesting here, as soon as Lot says something against what they're doing, what happens?
Same thing that's happening today.
They turn against Lot.
Turn
against. Yep. Pardon me?
They canceled him.
Yep. As soon as, you're right, we see it today. As soon as you say something against someone in the world today, what's the first thing they're going to attack you? Interesting here, quite possibly, this is the first time Lot has said anything against their lifestyle, against their actions, against what went on in the city of Sodom. All of a sudden, he wants to judge us now, is kind of the thing. And it doesn't take long for them to turn on him. I mentioned a phrase last week. I don't know if you remember me mention it, but ever heard that phrase, go along to get along? Yeah, you just kind of go along with what's taking place just to get along. I think that was Lot's position at this point. Never criticized what was going on, never said, hey, you guys shouldn't be doing this. He just kind of lived in the world and accepted what went on. And as soon as he makes any kind of stand, they're against him. If he had come into the city and made a stand right away, at least they would have known his position. But no, he seemed to live within the world. A good lesson for us, if we surround ourselves with that type of situation and take no stand because we think, do you think Lot felt comfortable living there? I think he did. I think he felt at home living in the city of Sodom. Why, if he didn't, he would have left. If he didn't feel comfortable living there and putting up with what went on, why would he stay there? Why would he raise his family there? Why would he become official within the city? You see, he lived in that situation. He accepted that situation. He might not have participated, but he just let it go. And as soon as you try to take a stand, the world turns against you. And we see that here, even to the point that they were going to take it out on Lot. If you don't give us what we want, we'll take it out on you instead. And it says they pressed him sore or extremely or mightily against the door, even they were going to break the door down. Lot has, yes. Right. Right. It says Lot was, we've talked about that last week. Lot was a righteous man. That's okay. Lot was a righteous man, but he vexed his soul continually because of the situation that he put himself in or found himself in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, and in a way, I think it's comfortable there. Why did he move there to begin with? Because he felt he could prosper there, right? He moved to the plain because it was well watered. It was a place for his cattle and his sheep and everything else. He lived outside of the city. Then we see him moving into the city. Then we see him in somewhat a position of authority within the city. So he's made himself comfortable in these surroundings. He's really kind of done this to himself because he knew what, everybody knew what was going on in Sodom. This isn't a surprise to anybody. Yet he decided to, he made that decision to live in that filth. You know, you can't live with the pigs without somewhat smelling like them, right? And that's kind of what Lot has done. He put himself in this position. He made that choice because he became comfortable with that. It's easy to live in the city because everything's provided for you. Where did Abraham live? Out in the hills, out in the mountains, where God had to provide for him. Lot took the easy way out and said, I'm going to move into the city because it's easy living there. And he became comfortable with what he had. So Lot had put himself in this position, him and his family, and we're going to see how that works out a little later. It says, verse 10, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men with that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. If Lot had any wonder about who these two men were before, he probably didn't by now. Lot had gotten himself into a bad situation, and God, through his mercy and through the action of these two angels, got Lot out of the situation, at least temporarily, by blinding and or confusing half the city that's at his door, desiring to do things that are unmentionable. So they save Lot, bring him in, and they say to him, verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. For sure now Lot knows what's going on. If there had been any inkling of who these individuals were, he knows exactly what's taking place. So they say to him, this city is going to be destroyed. You need to get out. And we see Lot, verse 14. So Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. That seems reasonable, right? Lot gets some information. You got to get out of this city. Went and told his, it doesn't say here, sons, but it said in the verse before he had sons. So sons, daughters, son-in-laws, daughters-in-law, whoever, whatever relatives you have, get them out because this city is going to be destroyed. So Lot goes to talk to him. And again, the end of verse 14, what do we see? But it seemed, or he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws, or joked, or again, why would this be? Okay, if you make no stand for right, that's what people figure you're going to, what your stand is. So apparently, even though, and I keep saying this because we don't see anything where it says Lot, but even though Lot may not have participated in the things that went on within that city, apparently he had nothing negative to say about what went on. Otherwise, his daughters or son-in-laws or sons would have understand that, okay, well, we live in a city of filth, but at least my father makes a stand that all this is wrong. But when he goes to tell them it's time to get out of the city because the angels are going to destroy it, God's going to destroy the city because of the filth and disgust that's in these cities, what do they say? Yeah, you're joking. What are you talking about? You know?
Where'd this come from?
That kind of thing. Which obviously would imply that Lot had no testimony for righteousness, even amongst his family, as it took place here. So verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So obviously his daughters-in-law, or and sons, and sons-in-law and daughters, that were not within the house did not come with him, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. Iniquity here really means punishment. He was pretty well immersed within the iniquity of the city, wasn't he? But as far as the punishment goes, they said, you better hustle on out of here or you're going to get caught in the punishment of this city. And interesting, in verse 16, it says, while he lingered. What don't you understand about this, Lot? You need to get out of the city. As he lingered, and we see even God's grace here. While he lingered, the men lay hold of his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought them forth and set them without the city. Basically, what'd they do? They had to drag him out of the city. Why? They didn't want to go, right?
It's a very sad commentary on our whole human nature. This is terrible.
Yeah.
But this is reality.
Mm-hmm.
So sadly, we find ourselves that same way, lingering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. The old sin nature desires that we stay in the world, in the things of the world, even though we're not supposed to. And like Pastor said, many times we linger as well, right? God says, get out of that, stop doing that, and yet we linger in it. Doug?
Probably have to leave everything behind. It came with a lot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. More than likely, they left with little or nothing compared to what they came with. It doesn't say they brought their servants and a bunch of people out. It looks like the four of them only. Go ahead.
Maybe it's a stretch, but it seems almost like an allegory for salvation in general, where we can't get ourselves to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, God works within our hearts and calls us, yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Again, I've mentioned this before, and I don't know I'll get the whole saying white, but sin costs you more than you ever thought you'd ever have to pay.
Keep you longer.
Keeps you longer than you'd ever thought, you know, you get involved in sin, and it's going to cost you more than you ever thought. And yes, you're right. They probably did have to come out with little or nothing compared to what they had there. So they left behind their home, their family, their possessions. But by God's grace, he was going to save them. And yet, it seems like what was more important to them?
Possessions.
All my stuff. I got to walk away from all my stuff? Well, do you want to live or not live? I mean, again, we see where their priority was. Go ahead, Stan.
It's quite a picture. It is what we're facing. And even though we don't get some of it, why Lot, you know, why didn't you, because he wasn't looking at the Lord to God.
Yeah.
To understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For us anyway.
Yeah.
But this definitely depicts quite like flee with nothing.
Yeah.
But then you're disregarding your life. That's foolish.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. That's foolish is what he did.
Yep. Lot was definitely foolish. Let's go on, verse 17. And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad or out of the city, and he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So he's gotten them out of the city, some distance away. He says, go up to the mountains and live up there. Don't stay in the plain. Apparently, several cities in the plain were all going to be destroyed in this. It wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah, it was the cities of the plain. Interesting. Lot has been spared destruction in the city, his wife and two children. And what does he do?
Starts arguing with the Lord.
He says, and Lot said unto them, not so, my Lord. No, don't make me do that. Behold, now thy servant found grace in thy sight. At least he understood that he had found some grace in God's sight and that by God's grace alone he was out of the city. Otherwise he would have been in destruction. And thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. But I can't do what you asked me to do. I can't escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. And we look at Lot and we say, are you kidding me? Before we look too hard at Lot, better turn around, look in the mirror, and look at ourselves. Because we do the same thing, don't we? Yep. Here's our example in Scripture, but we need to understand that many times, even though God shows his mercy to us, we look at him and say, but I can't trust you in that. No, that's too big a situation for you to deal with. I'll take care of that. God had saved them, brought them out of the city, yet he says, you're going to send me to the mountains and then I'm going to die. If God wanted them to die, why did he bring them out of the city to begin with? Obviously, he sees that God has showed his mercy, but he can't trust God fully. He says, behold, and Lot, come on. Behold, now this city is near unto thee, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not, or is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. Can't I stick my toes back in that again? I understand you're showing your mercy to me and your grace, and you've brought me out of the city where I won't be destroyed, but how about you just don't destroy this little one over here? And again, we see Lot's taken the easy way out, because it's easier to live in town where there's people and there's provisions, there's a place to sleep, there's food provided there, instead of going to the mountain and having God care for us. It's much easier to stay in the world where it's a little comfortable than it is to trust God completely. See the picture we see with Lot? So he says, let me go to just, there's just a little city. Maybe it's not as sinful as Sodom, because just a little one. You know, there's probably just a little sin there. That's okay, right? Let me go and live here, otherwise I die. Interesting, verse 21, and he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. God in his wisdom, for some reason, says to Lot, okay, I'll let you do that. I'll spare that little city, and you can go live there. And I think it's because we'll see a little later on, Lot's going to learn a lesson there as well. See, I have accepted thee concerning these things, also that I not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the city, or the name of the city, was Zoar. Zoar means little, by the way. excuse me. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. So, Lot, please let me stay in this little city. Otherwise, I'm afraid for my life. And for whatever reason, in God's wisdom, he says, okay, that's fine. You can live there. So, Lot runs to the city. Or, well, it doesn't say run, but he made it there. Verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities in all the plain. So see, it wasn't just Sodom. It wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah. It was all the cities of the plain, except for this teeny one that Lot went to. excuse me. And all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So interesting here. God not only destroyed the cities, those that live there, but also what? The crops, everything, complete destruction when he overthrows these cities. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. And obviously here is more than just, you know, I turned around and glanced. The idea is here that she either lingered, stopped, turned. Her desire was not to continue on to the city. So apparently she had fallen behind and was not within that city and was turned into a pillar of salt. It's interesting, there's a lot of information about this area now, where this is at, and the geography and the landscape and the salty region that this has become, probably because of this even.
I was watching one program, there is a pillar of salt in that area, it's called Lot's Wife.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yep. It's interesting, even, and again, as they call it Lot's Wife, but do they pay attention to what that means? She desired to live in the world and not escape. Had God has given her that opportunity to, and that's what happened. Yet we understand the meaning, but people see that and say, "Oh yeah, there's Lot's wife, the pillar of salt," but it means nothing to them. Pardon me? Yeah. Yep. So it says, verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, or had stood before the Lord. So, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities which were in, or in which Lot dwelt. God, through his mercy, and because of Abraham, gave Lot the opportunity to come out and not be destroyed in that destruction that was going to take place. We'll get started. We got a couple minutes. It's interesting here, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. Wait a minute. Just a few verses before, Lot wanted to go live in the city. What's going on? Well, let's read a little farther. Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he what? Feared to dwell in that city. And he dwelt in the cave and his two daughters. Interesting. Lot thought, well, I'll just stay in the world a little bit, and there can't be that much sin in this city compared to the other one, right? I just want to keep, you know, I want to keep my hand in this a little bit. I don't want to get rid of it completely. And turns out that he couldn't live there either.
I think when you go back and you put this together, here again, it's a good example of us realizing that it would have been a lot better to have just obeyed the Lord in the first place. He asked to live in Zoar, which mm-hmm. was one of the cities of the plain.
Mm-hmm.
But verse 24, the Lord rained fire and brimstone, and in verse 25, he overthrew those cities, all the plain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was all burned to a crisp around Zoar,
mm-hmm.
and he was sticking out there like a sore thumb now in the city, and I got to get out of here. If I would have just done what the Lord would have asked me to do.
Yeah.
Again, human nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was fearful to... Go ahead, Chrissy.
No, it's okay.
He was fearful to live in the city. Why do you think he was fearful to live in the city? All sorts of commentaries about what it might have been. Maybe everybody knew that he had come from Sodom and Gomorrah. How come he's the only one that escaped? Or why was he there? Maybe they thought he was cursed. I don't know what it was. But God had brought him to the place where he couldn't even be comfortable living there. And God, in a way, forced him out of that situation, which many times, unfortunately, God has to deal with us sometimes and force us out of what we're doing, out of the world. Okay, we'll continue on next week. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.